Good morning and welcome to Weekly Worship. My name's Kate and I'm one of the leaders here. You managed to get here on time with the clocks going back. That's very impressive. Forward, even. Give yourselves a big pat on the back. That's impressive. I was a bit caught out this morning. Everything was a bit quick. Don't know whether you found that. This morning is very exciting for us because normally the Vineyard kids are in all their groups, but today we get the delight of them being in with us and they get to lead the morning with us. So hold on. Might not be normal, but just go with it. The theme for our morning is what is church? Family. So we're going to look at what it means to be church as a family. How did this church family all begin in the first place? And what the Bible says about how we can be a great family that really loves each other. Okay, back to our theme of the morning. Church is family. So I don't know about your family, but my family is made up of a whole heap of differences. Some of us are tall. Some of us have lots of hair. Some of us have not so much hair. Some of us like puddings and ice cream. Some of us prefer chicken. It's the same with church. We are all really, really different. We are different heights, different ages, different political interests, different all sorts of different things, different brothers, different sisters. So the kids are going to come up and just illustrate how different we all are. So Evie and Charlotte, do you want to come up? Are you ready? Okay. You need to take part in this bit.
Stand up.
Wait, not yet.
You. And start again. Oh, stand up if you have an other brother.
Older brother.
Ooh, quite a lot. Okay.
Stand up if you have never been on a water slide. Stand up if you like trifle.
You're on the next one. Stand up if you like swimming.
Stand up if you ate cereal for breakfast today. Stand up if you could eat more than 6 fish fingers for your dinner. Stand up if you can spell scrumptious.
Let's test them. Go on, pick somebody.
Andrew. How do you spell scrumptious? Yes.
Yay.
Stand up if you've ever done a triathlon.
Oh.
I have.
You have?
I have, yeah.
Stand up if you support Leeds United.
Thank you, kids. Thank you, everybody. As you can see, we are all different. We are all different in many ways. And the church has always been made up of people who are different to each other. Even when the early church started, like nearly 2,000 years ago, the church welcomed all sorts of people. They welcomed men, they welcomed women, but they also, in those days, welcomed slaves. They welcomed slaves. So can you imagine? That was a really extraordinary thing at the time because slaves had no freedom whatsoever and they literally had to do what their master told them to do. So imagine when they were welcomed into church, and they weren't welcomed as slaves, but they were welcomed as brothers and sisters because they were adopted into God's family. That must have been a pretty amazing thing. And around that time, there was a man called Paul who used to write loads of letters of encouragement to the churches. And those letters make up the New Testament part of the Bible. And one of the letters that Paul wrote, he wrote to the church in Rome, and so it's called Romans. So I thought we could have a little look, maybe a little race even, to see if we could find out where this letter that Paul wrote to the Roman church in the Bible. So I've got a little, well, kind of like a big bar of chocolate here. Ooh, here we go. It's all changed now. So if you can find Paul's letter to the Romans and be the first person to shout out the page number in the Pew Bible, this could be yours. Oh, Mr. No. Oh, sorry, Sean got there first. Sean, come and get your chocolate. This is for you. Cool, you know your Bible well. So Paul wrote lots of letters of encouragement to the New Testament, to the church, and they're all found in the New Testament part of the Bible. And he has lots to say in this letter to the Romans. He talks about what church should be like as a family, including people from all backgrounds, all ages, all races. He says in Romans chapter 12 to go ahead and be what we were made to be. So if you're old, kids, how old is old? If you're 50, if you're old, put your hands up if you were raised in church. So that means if you're not a child, actually, I think that considers old. If you're old, who was raised in church? Who was brought up in church? Okay, hands down. So I grew up in a church where there were lots of people who were very, very different to me. The church was a small Methodist chapel in Northumberland, and there was a man there who was called Sid. And Sid had a bald head, had very big lips, actually, I remember. And he walked with a stoop like this. But the wonderful thing about Sid was that he was so kind. He was really encouraging. And he never sneered at me if I sort of made a noise or didn't sort of like look and frown at me if I fidgeted, which I did a lot in my seat. And I'm so very glad as a child that I got to know people like Sid who were not in my immediate family but were part of my church family. So they encouraged me to get to know Jesus and to figure out more about who he was, even when I was small. So I'd love you to have a little look around you this morning. Just have a little look. Turn around. Have a little look. Have a look at the person next to you. Are they as gorgeous as you? Lots of no's. Check you out, self-confidence. As you look around, can you see that we are all different to each other? And we can learn from everybody who is different to each other. And I was just thinking about this a little bit, and I thought, do you know what? We can learn a lot from people who love to worship. You know, like Ian Harden, who worships without any inhibitions. I love learning from him. We can learn from older people who have learned to have like a rock solid faith, like Colin and Teresa or Dennis and Phil. Over the years, they've learned to have a rock solid faith. And we can learn from the daily struggles of a mum with tiny children, what that's like. And we can learn from the young people as to what it's like following Jesus in secondary school today, because that is proper hard. So when did you last ask someone who is different to you in this church family, what it's like for them following Jesus in their situation? So I thought we'd sort of take a little step to do that this morning. So in your pews, you'll find two pieces of paper. One that says hello, and it's got a smiley face on it. and one that says, "You're great." Like this. So in a few minutes, we're going to play some music. And I'd like you to have a little look around and just see somebody who you would like to give this hello card to. Maybe write a little message on it. Maybe somebody who you've never met before and you've thought, oh, I've always wanted to sort of talk to them a little bit or say hello. Write a little message on it if you want to. And then come to the front and get yourself a chalk. Get yourself a chocolate and a peg. And then go and peg it on that person's clothes. Not their nose, on their clothes. So you get your chocolate, I can't do it with a microphone in my hand, and peg it on their clothes. And then you can repeat it with "You're great." So it might be that you just look around and then you see somebody who you think, do you know what, you're great, I'm just going to say that to you. And I'd really encourage you to pick somebody who you wouldn't normally do that to. So kids maybe to adults, adults to kids, young people. So, everybody know what they're doing? Good job, everybody. Just to let you know, if you don't have anything pinned on you, that does not mean that you're great. We only just had 3 minutes and 54 seconds, or whatever the song was, to do it. So don't worry. And you might have got something like me that says, "You are still young." That's what I got. So, we've looked at how everyone in the church family is different and how we can celebrate that. What else does Paul say to the Roman church? So, Matthew's going to come up and read for us what Paul says in his letter to the Romans. He's just eating a chocolate. Quick, chew, quick. Ready? It's not a Snickers, is it? Is it a caramel one? Quick. We didn't really practice the bit of having a chocolate first. Right, ready to steady go.
In this way, we are like parts of the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of the chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all of these excellently formed and marvellously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be who we're made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other, or trying to be something we aren't. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6.
Thank you, Matthew. So Paul is saying that we are all different, but we're not designed to do life on our own. God has made the church to function like a body with excellently formed parts. All of us together are a body, and we are all the individual parts. A toe, for example, is an amazing part of the body. That's not mine. But Paul's saying, if it's chopped off from the body, it's no good. Another problem is if the toe is chopped off from the body, then it doesn't just lose its function as a toe, but it hinders the walk of the rest of the body. So the body with one toe missing could probably just kind of stumble along, but it couldn't run fast. And it would have difficulty leaping over obstacles. So Paul's saying that for us to thrive individually, but especially as a community, we need to be attached to the body of Christ, which is us, the church. So we've looked at the church family, how we're all different. We've looked at how Paul says that we all should be like a body. The kids thought it would be fun to find out why David and Alison decided to plant this church in the first place. Why does it look this way and not another way? So they've compiled a list of questions. We couldn't use them all, but we've got some. So David and Alison, do you want to come up? Kids, do you want to get ready with your questions? So we need Callum. Callum, are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready? Elizabeth, you go first. Do you want to come along here?
Why did you think of this church in the first place?
Thanks. Do you mean the church, the Vineyard Church? Because for me, it is home. That's the answer for me. It's a place where I can be myself, I can get to know God, and I can just encourage other people to do the same. It just feels like home.
Why? Because I was really fortunate. I grew up in a wonderful family, which we spent all our time welcoming people into our house and doing life together, and I just thought that's a great way to do church. So I wanted to start a church which was like that.
When you were a little boy, did you ever want to be a pastor?
I think that's for David.
No, not really. I wanted to play rugby for England.
Fair enough.
What's the most wonderful thing you've seen God do?
I can't say what the most wonderful thing is, because there are too many really wonderful things. But I would just say that every time I see God loving somebody or just making himself known, healing their bodies, healing their situations, impacting, whenever God breaks in and connects with somebody, that for me is a really wonderful thing. So I see that all the time, but I couldn't actually tell you what the most wonderful thing is. That's a bit hard because there's too many.
For me, it's going back to the family thing. I love it when I see people who are maybe a bit like that toe. People are out, who are a bit broken or outside of normal, who don't have many friends, whose life isn't going very well, who don't have much reason to be joyful, and I see them becoming part of a family, like Kate's been talking about. And looking around and seeing lives having changed as people come closer to Jesus and do life together as part of the family. I think it's absolutely amazing. I love watching it happen. I love being able to help make it happen.
What's the thing you love best about church?
Okay, so one of the things that I love best about church is that we get to join in with what Jesus is doing, and it's really exciting. So as a whatever age, whatever size, whatever hair colour, like Kate was saying, whatever your circumstances, Jesus wants to use all of us to go out into the world, into the streets, into the school, wherever you are, and he wants us to join in with what he's doing, loving people. So that's the answer to that one.
What age are you?
I'm 90.
And I'm 21.
There you go. Thanks, kids. Perfect. Thank you. Off you go. So the Vineyard kids see each other week in, week out. They've been on church holidays together, called Ashburnham. And over the years, they've become what Paul says, good friends who love deeply. And a few weeks ago, when I was just in with the kids, just as we were finishing up at the end of our session, we were just having a chat. So I grabbed my iPad and I just recorded what they were saying. So here's a clip. They're a bit embarrassed about it, but it's really good. So here's what they're going to say.
Balloon at the moment.
Tell me
what your first memory was of church.
My first memory would be going to burning and having Cocoa Pops every morning.
That sounds so much fun. Were you allowed Cocoa Pops normally every morning?
No, no, because they're chocolate. I only really get them when I go to my nan and granny's. But it was so fun because I got them at a furnace.
Okay, that's great. Excellent. Okay, let's pan around to Charlotte. What's your What was your first memory of church?
The old building we went to.
So was that at Ralph Thoresby?
Yes.
And what do you remember about that?
I remember one room.
Which room was it?
The red room.
Was that? Oh gosh, do you remember doing anything in the kids' stuff back at?
Yes, I remember the room and sitting in different colours to represent different groups.
That's right, we did. Love it. So, Sophia, can you think of a really fun thing that you did?
Well, two things actually.
Great.
Well, the first thing is going to the old church.
The old building, yeah.
Yeah, and well, that's not a church, but the old. And school. The next thing is going to Arthur Ashburnham. That's so awesome.
Awesome Ashburnham.
And I agree.
Why do you love Ashburnham so much?
Because. Well, you don't have to you can go on your bikes all day.
Yeah.
And you can explore and you can go to the campsite.
This is called the new type of bubblegum.
1 second. Let's go over to Elizabeth. Elizabeth has been waiting so patiently. Elizabeth, tell us. Thank you for waiting so patiently. What is your earliest memories of church?
Well, it's a group of memories. And the red room, like Charlotte said, in the old church, meeting our parents.
Yeah.
And we had to find them. Oh my gosh, and also, my other memory was sitting in the hall and watching the movies every so often.
Oh, when we had popcorn.
Yes, we did.
That's it.
Popcorn.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, what was a fun thing about church that you like? Why do you like church? Let's go. Callum, with a big red face.
Because we play games.
You play games and love it. What do you like about church, Martha?
Wait a minute.
What do you like about Ashburnham? Ashburnham? About church?
That we learn about things.
Cool. And Charlotte, finally, last word.
I think it's actually boring.
Why do you think it's boring?
Because Ben says the same thing every day. Well, week.
What does he say every time?
Welcome, I am Ben. Oh. I am one of the leavers. Today I'm your host.
Oh, yeah. What else does he say?
I am Ben.
Hi. Yeah. I don't know.
What else does he say? Go on.
Well, gosh. Cookies. He says, cookies are really nice. No, not really. He says, anybody who is new here, you are really welcome to be to this church. I hope you enjoy your visit. And if anybody is just a normal person, I hope you enjoy today.
That's brilliant. So you remember it. I love it. Well, we love you being in our church. And I'm going to...
So, I think you've got a new person doing welcome now. Okay, lastly, Paul had some more wisdom in his letter to the Romans just about how we can be church family. And it's so good that I thought we'd learn it. I thought you were getting away without doing a memory verse, but no. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you what it is, and then we're all going to learn it together. This is Paul's wisdom on how we can be family. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life for good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Okay, we'll do it again with the actions and then it's your turn. Are you ready? Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Frown. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. practice playing second fiddle. Are you ready? Your turn. You can stand if you want, or you can just sit. But let's stand anyway. Are you ready? Love, from the center of who you are, don't fake it. Run, for dear life from evil. Hold on, for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. What does practice playing second fiddle mean?
Putting other people first.
Yeah, putting other people first. Thanks, everybody. You can sit down. So I wanted to go on a bit of a mission just to see if this verse was actually played out in our church. You know, Paul tells us to do this, to love from the center of who we are. He tells us not to fake it, to be real with each other. He tells us to run for dear life from evil and to hold on to what's good. He tells us to be good friends to each other who love deeply and to put other people before ourselves. So I just would like three people to come up. So we've got Andrew, Rob and Sam. Just to illustrate, does that verse actually happen in our church? Or is it just good advice that we don't heed? So Andrew, you come first. So this is Andrew. Andrew has a family of four children. So some people could say he doesn't need church. He has a community all on his own at home. How has that verse played out in your family?
Yeah, I think I have a bit too much community at home, to be honest. And James always used to say he's got three big sisters, and he's my six-year-old boy. I used to ask him, how many have we got in this family? He used to say, there's two boys and too many girls, he used to say. But I guess I don't find this that easy. I'm quite introverted, and I could probably quite happily just sort of hang out with my family and maybe a sort of close group of like-minded people, friends. But I suppose the more I've got involved here, the more I've sort of come to value getting to know people very different from myself, letting them into my life, and I guess the things that I find difficult about that, the things that I find difficult about people, probably says more about me than it does about them. And whilst, you know, God can work on me, can change me as I sort of get with him individually on my own, spend time with him, I also think it's like he works on me through other people, and it's almost like an essential part of letting God into my life. And him shining his light into my life, kind of putting it out there, and getting to know other people, hanging out with people different from myself. And does that cover it?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. So Sam. Sam plays football, and often on a Sunday morning he has to miss football matches because we meet here. But sometimes you have a match at 12:15, which means you have to leave early. Now, tell me, Paul says to be good friends who love deeply. What do T for 12 do? What do Liz and Ian do before you have to leave 10 minutes early?
They usually pray for me and help me and my team play to the best of our abilities and protect me from injury.
That's great, thank you. So, Rob, Well, this is what I see in you. I see you practicing playing second fiddle every time you serve tea and coffee in the pouring rain. You're serving everybody else. You're putting people before yourself. What do you think about that?
I don't really see it as putting myself second. I think it's more just it's my way of giving back. And like I said, that you and Ben and David and Alison do your like preaching, and it's my little mini way of preaching my own stuff when I'm giving tea and coffee and doing kids' work.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks, chaps. So, church for many of the kids is one big, happy, noisy party. We love God, We love life. We celebrate our togetherness, and it's really attractive. It's the kind of atmosphere that causes people to line up for church and stay late. And it's noisy. Connection is noisy. And of course, there needs to be times when we need to be quiet in reverence to our God. But church is a place that has the noise of family meeting together, which I love. So we're going to make some noise now. We're going to worship. And girls, if you just want to go and get the hula hoops and the drums and the other things, do you want to stand to worship? And we're going to make some noise and worship Jesus. Thank you. Would you like to take a seat? Thanks, band. So to conclude, doing church as a family is all about celebrating how different we are and how we can learn from people of all ages and all backgrounds. And we recognize that the church is like a body and we are part of that. Remember the toe? When it loses its supply of blood, oxygen and everything to keep it working, it doesn't work anymore. And at the same time, the body doesn't thrive without it either. And lastly, we're learning to do family. We're learning to love each other, just like any other family does. So the kids and I reckon that we'd love to pray for you. Do you remember? We had a few words of knowledge, didn't we? Do you want to come up? So, Mary, Naomi, can you just come up as well? That would be great. Please. So the church is all about God's plan for the earth. We're not just meant to invite Jesus into our lives and then live on our own until we meet Jesus face to face. When you follow Jesus, you're part of his church. And the church is God's people. All of us together as a community of people who love one another, who serve one another, and work together to see God's kingdom grow. And so as we were praying, we just... Well, I had a sense that some of you maybe have lost what the point of church is about. Just that last sentence that I read about people who love one another, serve one another, and work together to see God's kingdom grow. Sometimes God gives us pictures, doesn't he? And I had a picture of stale bread in my mind. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, some of you are seeing church like that. It's a bit like dry and a bit like stale bread. And we'd love to pray for that vision again as to what church could be like for you. So if that's you in a minute, we'd love to pray for you. What did you get? Did anybody else get anything?
I got a finger.
Okay, so you got a picture of a finger, didn't you? So do you think, who does that for, a man or a lady, do you think? Okay. Anybody else?
I got a picture of someone coughing.
Somebody coughing. So do you think we could maybe pray for somebody to be healed of a cough? Is that what you're...
A cold.
Okay, thanks. Nathaniel, what did you get?
I just saw the word baptisms.
Okay. So do you know what that might mean, or just the word baptisms?
Himself to God.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks. Anybody else?
A bad foot.
A bad foot. Any left or right?
I don't know.
So whereabouts on the foot might it be?
In the middle.
Okay. So, Mary, Naomi, have you got anything? Well, I'll tell you what we'll do is if you guys could help when we're going to pray for people. So does any of those mean anything to anybody? Great. Well, I think we're up to... Have you got a cold? Naomi's responding to a word. So I suggest that if the band could just play some quiet songs, that would be brilliant. And if you would like to be prayed for, we would love to pray for you. We're not going to do anything weird, are we? No. We're just going to ask God to bless you and heal you if you've got anything wrong with you. Okay. I think that's a bit of a formal ending. So... let's be community, chat amongst each other, be family, and say hello to people that you might not know. a really good opportunity just to give you a little heads up. Easter Sunday is a great time to invite your friends for that morning. David's going to be preaching, and it's going to be all about the gospel and the resurrection. So bring your friends to that. Okay, thanks for coming.